Well, good morning. I want to tell you how thankful I am for the incredible staff we have here at Overflow Church and our volunteers. If you're online, maybe just give them a little high five or a high 10 and just thank them and let them know how blessed you are, as I realize how blessed I am by what they have put together for us. They've done a phenomenal job. This morning, we are in our Psalm 23 series, and I just want us to breathe for a second. Can you do that? Just take a breath in and out. It's amazing when we begin to relax, when we begin to experience the breath of God, if you will, that we're reminded in Psalm 23 of who He is. That yes, we have a good Father, a Father that shepherds us through every season of life. And we're in this series, Lack Nothing, Gain Everything. And I know God timed this for such a time as this. It is perfectly timed. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the fact that God is greater than Corona. That God is greater than the COVID-19 virus. That God is greater than anything, any disease, any sickness, any issue that we face in life. Our God is greater. And this is a time for the Church of Jesus Christ to call on His name and remember who He is. I believe that as we recover the reality by faith of who God is, that we're going to see God move in new ways in our churches, in our community, and throughout our nation and world. This is a wake-up call. It is a wake-up call to be reminded what we're trusting in, what we're relying on, what we're depending on, and to hopefully see people as they watch us that turn to God, that turn to Him in such a time as this and demonstrate something deep within who they are that says everybody else may be panicking and we're not going to dismiss the realities and the facts, but we're going to walk by faith and we're going to walk with God and we are going to see that God is greater than Corona. God is greater than anything that may come against us. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." That is the spirit He has placed in us as His church. We are not to walk in fear, but in power and in love. A.W. Tozer years ago said, "A scared world needs a fearless church." A scared world, a world that is in panic, a world that is concerned, a world that has questions, needs a fearless church. And so you and I are called to be filled with faith. We're to use wisdom, and we're to show love. We are to show love and compassion, and this is where I believe the church can rise. You see, when we walk by faith, we show wisdom and we share love. Historically, the Church of Jesus Christ has made such a difference. Rodney Stark, an author, says this, "Christianity revitalized life in the Greco-Roman cities," this is centuries ago, "by providing new norms and new kinds of social relationships, able to cope with many urgent urban problems. To cities filled with homeless and the impoverished, Christians offered charity as well as hope. To cities filled with newcomers and strangers, Christianity offered an immediate basement for attachments. To cities filled with orphans and widows, Christianity provided a new and expanded family. To cities torn by violent strife, Christianity offered a new basis for social solidarity. And to cities faced with epidemics, fires, and earthquakes, Christianity offered effective nursing service." That is a fearless church. And I want to acknowledge that life has changed. Life has absolutely changed. A moment like this reminds us not just what we rely on or what we get used to, but in many ways what we turn to. Life has changed. Conveniences we've been used to, things that we've turned to fill us, entertainment, sports, so many things right now are closing and appropriately shutting down. Life has changed. What does that mean, though? Because while life has changed, Hebrews 13:8 tells us this, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." That while life has changed, Jesus has not. While life has changed, Jesus is still who he's always been, and he's able, and he's with us. Life has changed, but God has not changed. And in Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3, we learn a little bit more of the depth of who our God is and what he has for us. Here's what it says, picking up in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength, and he guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. God is greater than Corona, and what we see here is that he leads us into rest, renewal, and right paths. And I want to unpack this for us this morning, because as we look at this, what does that look like in your life to turn to God, to turn to him, and to let him lead? In fact, let me ask you that question. Are you following God's great lead? Because God's great lead is going to lead us to new ways of resting, not just physically, but in our soul. Some of you are so afraid and filled with anxiety and panic and fear. I just want you to know that God has great rest for you. That our good shepherd wants to guide us in to rest. Jesus, in fact, leads us to rest and renewal. And so are you following his lead and experiencing that renewal? I want to show you the context, if you will. Verse 2 said that he lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. It's interesting because depending on what our background is and what we're aware of as far as shepherding, we may picture a green meadow that's not exactly what the context was in which David wrote this. You see, the psalmist David, who was a king and a warrior and a shepherd, had learned to trust God. And when he says that God leads him into green meadows, what he's talking about is a reality that in the Middle East, in this area where he would have been, there was hill country and dirt and rocks. It wouldn't have been a lush meadow that he was leading in. It was meadows that would have had blades of grass that are sticking up through rocks. It wouldn't have been a blanket. It would have been actually this reality that the shepherd would have had to guide them to a place among all of the chaos, among all of the things around them, to where they could feed. The good shepherd would guide them to that place. Here's a picture of what it might look like with a modern-day shepherd. Kind of changes how we view that in so many ways. You see, the green pastures that I believe it's talking about reveal that for many of us, there's a hunger. The green pastures reveal this hunger, and the peaceful streams that are mentioned reveal the thirst. I don't know if you realize this, but a time like this, as our anxieties and fears and those around us rise, it really reveals what we're feeding on, what's filling us, what are the things that we're going to, because each of us have a physical hunger and a physical thirst, but this passage is so much deeper. It's talking about this spiritual hunger that only God can fill. It's talking about a spiritual thirst that only Jesus can quench. And that in a season like this, part of us finding rest is coming to Jesus and coming to him to fill that hunger. There is so much that has changed, but God has not. What are you feeding on? Are you turning to the entertainment and to the sports and to the other things to feed yourself? In fact, maybe you're feeding on the news and you're so afraid, and it's because you have so much of that news in you. Let me tell you, the greatest place we could feed right now as believers is God's word. That in fact, this is nourishment for our soul. This brings rest to our minds. This quenches our thirst. There is something that God may want to do in each of our lives in this season, in bringing new hunger and thirst for him. And believers, I want you to know that there's going to be others around you, others that may not believe that are going to be looking and saying, how are you doing? How do you have peace? How do you have hope? How do you have love? And if you're feeding on the right things, you're going to be able to help give them a taste too. God wants to move in this season in new ways. It's interesting that term there, peaceful streams, still waters. As I studied this out, the Hebrew word is minutia. And minutia means, it's a term used in the Bible for rest, place of quiet and rest, or a fixed abode. What it means is these peaceful streams are meant to be a reality, that the shepherd would lead us to a place of a fixed reality of rest. So everything around us can be raging, everything around us can be going crazy, but there's a rest deep within the life of a believer that is trusting God. The synonym for this word is actually the word inheritance. And I want to make sure we grab this today, because as sons and daughters of God, part of our inheritance is experiencing rest that the world cannot give us. Check out what Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls." What an amazing reality. That's our inheritance. As believers, Jesus is inviting us into, I believe, a new season of rest. As things close, as things change in our schedules, for some that may mean that, you do have more work to do, more things to figure out, but may God's rest be deep within your soul. May he help you carry the burden and the yoke. May his grace be there with you. He has more rest for us. And here's the thing, God is, as we read on in verse 3, God is greater than Corona and also leads us into renewal. Are you following God's great lead? Because if you're following his great lead, it's not just that he gives us rest, but he brings renewal. He begins to change and transform us into a new place and into new people. It's interesting, if you look at the history of crises in, church history and in world history, there's often moments like this that collectively wake up the conscience of a people, a country, and a world. And as a result, as they turn to God, revival begins to happen. But before that happens, there's a renewal that happens in the church. And I believe while we may be not gathering physically in person in this moment, you know, here at Overflow for years, we've said, go now and be the church. We have an opportunity to be the church in new ways right now. And your renewal will lead to some of the revival that I believe is ahead. God wants to move and renew us as we follow his lead. In Romans 12, verse 2, it says this, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and an acceptable, perfect will of God." You see, when we come to God, he begins to transform us and renew us and change us. And so there is no doubt that a crisis and a moment like this can play an amazing role in renewing us and transforming our faith. Did you know God's heart for you? Did you know his care for you? That who you were when all this started is not who you're going to be on the other side of it. That God loves you and I so much that he wants to step into this valley and step into this moment and say, I've got more for you. I want to fill that hunger. I want to fill that thirst. I want to renew you. I want you to know me in deeper ways. Verse 3 says, he renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. What does it mean for you to bring your weakness to God right now? To bring your fear, your anxiety, the things that you're really struggling with. What does it look like for you to bring them honestly to God? And to say, God, I need you to renew this. I need you to be my strength. Paul was amazing at this. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter to a church in Corinth. Paul actually acknowledged that he had some things in his life that he wasn't happy about. Some things in his life that were personal. Some things in his life that he had been asking God to change. And here's what's interesting is sometimes we can ask God to change our circumstances when God's saying, I want to change you. I want to renew you. I want to transform you. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul says this, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults and the hardship and the persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Can we hear this as a people and say part of our renewal is going to be acknowledging our fears, acknowledging our weakness, and saying, God, transform me, renew me, be my strength. And what we receive from him, I believe supernaturally, will begin to change us and change those around us as they see Christ in us, the hope of glory. I want to pause for a minute because we're online. I want to pause for a minute and allow you space to just reflect. So we're going to put up this question, prayer and reflection. What areas of my life need God's renewal touch right now? Just let that sit there for the next 30 to 60 seconds and just reflect. If you're online, you can comment, you can share. We have people ready to respond and to pray with you for renewal. When we talk about rest and renewal, moments like that are going to be so important in our lives. Finding moments to just reflect and to invite God's presence into our situation. We may feel a necessary desire or within us to turn to other things or to rip and run and to do what we've done and try to hustle. And let me just encourage you in this time. That God is greater, again, than Corona. That God is greater, and it's entering into his presence and experiencing his rest and renewal that will change and transform our lives. And did you catch what it said at the end of verse 3? It says this, he guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. You see, as we follow God's greater lead, we will see God doing things in and through us that are right, that actually demonstrate faith and hope and love in our world. We're going to see new, fresh expressions, moves of the Holy Spirit, new wine being poured into his church. Church, I am so excited and encouraged, and I came here to encourage you today and to equip you and to empower you to say, that this isn't on just one of us. This is on him and his church to be the church. When it says that the rest and renewal, he'll then lead us to right paths, I got to tell you, I believe there's a lot of things that are wrong right now. But a God who is going to lead his people to do what is right. To actually do it for his name's sake and for his glory. Can I get an amen online? Verse 3 says, he guides me along right paths for his name's sake, for his glory. It's amazing to think about what this could mean. And let me just lean in further. Peter Jeffrey says this, our problem is not really one of guidance. So when we think about God guiding us along right paths, he says our problem is not really one of guidance. It is one of closeness to God. You see, if a sheep is near the shepherd, they're going to know where to go. If a sheep is near the shepherd, it's less likely that they're going to rebel or resist because they realize the presence and goodness of and care of the shepherd, and they are reminded of their identity, that they're not in charge, that he is. And here's the thing, what he's getting at is when we draw close to God, God draws close to us. And in his goodness, we're going to know what the next right step is. As you feed on God, as you spend time with God, as you allow God to give you rest and renewal, I believe you're going to know exactly what those next right things are. And let me tell you what Jesus said to remind us that it's not as complicated as we may think. In fact, can I just tell you, my job right now is I want to remove all the excuses. I want to remove all the excuses to say, when we're filled with faith, and using wisdom, there is no reason why love cannot flow freely. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 22, 37 to 40. He said this at a time to a question that was asked by a religious leader that was a part of a system that had more than 6,000 rules and regulations, 6,000 additions to the law. They had made it so complicated that to do right wasn't easy. And here's what Jesus said. He said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Love God and love your neighbor. Love God and love your neighbor. You see, when we love God, his love wells up inside of us. It overflows to our neighbor. We can't help but love and care about those around us. And I want to give you a couple of things to think about with this, because I believe we need to be wise. And part of being wise and stewarding our lives in a time like this is listening to professionals. Please do not get all of your information from Facebook and from social media. We will be emailing out regularly updates. We're getting our information from the CDC, from our local government, and from our state government. Go to those credible sources and get your information there. And as you do that, we need to love our neighbor at times by listening to the guidelines. By saying that, hey, I may be young or healthy enough to fight this, but you could be a carrier that affects somebody else. And so stewarding our life protects our neighbor as well. But here's the thing, in all of that, there are going to be needs that begin to arise. There's going to be moments where compassion is needed, and people that are not in the vulnerable population need to rise up by faith and show love. Schools are closed. Meals are needed. The elderly will need extra care and meals. The medical community, can you imagine how much more we need to pray for them and let them know how much we love them and what they're doing every day? Not only do they have to fight COVID-19, but they also have to do their regular and operations and procedures and things. And so loving our neighbor right now takes on a completely different moment in time that hopefully opens our eyes and says there's no excuses. So you're going to hear often this term social distancing in the news. We do need to respect that, but what does it look like to say we're going to still stay connected? We're going to pray for each other. We're going to be online with each other. We're going to text each other. We're going to call each other. We're going to make sure our neighbors are experiencing love and care.
That's the kind of faith and love that I believe God wants us to have. Yes, wash our hands, but also be ready to wash feet and serve like Jesus did. One of the opportunities that has risen here locally is a group of community leaders got together, and on Friday, there was a plan put in place for this coming week to feed families, students in particular, that live in Benton Harbor that need meals. And I just want you to let you know, church, we're rising to the occasion. We're one of many sites that will have meals here to love our neighbor, to say, hey, you can come here and you can pick this up and go. On social media and our channels, you can find the information. If you need meals or your neighbor needs meals, please make sure they know these are free and available. They're grab and go. We also know other needs are going to arise. And so we want to be a people that by faith are saying, we're going to love God and love our neighbor. And why do we do that? Because did you check out the end of verse 3? It says very clearly, bringing honor to his name. You see, the church is called throughout Scripture to show love, to be his disciples, to follow his lead. It says that we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, that we are witnesses to who he is. And this can be our finest hour, a moment where we rise out of all of the things we were distracted by, to look to God and to say, God is greater, and we will follow his lead, and we will do this for his name's sake, for his honor, and for his glory. And so in Numbers chapter 6, I want to just speak this over us. I want to speak life over us as a church, as a community, as we prepare to live with this kind of faith, as we prepare to love God and love our neighbor. I want to read this and speak this over us. And then I want to pray us into a new season. God is going to do a mighty work. And if you're online, please let us know how we can pray for you, how we can care. If you have needs, reach out. We are here to serve and to love. And we're going to see God move in a mighty way. Because God is greater than Corona. He is great. He is the one that we need in this season. So Numbers 6, verses 24 to 26 says this. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you peace. Father, we receive this today as a blessing from you. We receive today this message that God, you are here. As we follow your lead to demonstrate your greatness. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would move in new ways in our lives. May we rest deep within our souls in you and your sovereignty. May we walk into your presence and experience renewal and your transforming power. And Father, may you lead us in right paths. For your name's sake. Thank you, God, for what you're going to do in this season. Thank you for how you're going to lead us through. Thank you for how you are going to triumph in the face of tragedy. Jesus, we look to you now, and we worship you, and we give you all the glory and all of the honor. In Jesus'